Hey everyone, welcome to a very special episode of Midweek Rise Up, where I get a chance to sit down with my amazing husband, Charlie Kirk, and hash out some questions submitted on my Instagram about being single in today's world, trying to date, and finding your future spouse. We had some fun banter, but I have to say, there's some tough love in this episode. Really tough love. Some might agree with our answers, others might not, others might find them a little harsh, but regardless, we wanted to share what was on our hearts. And I also want to say, just real quick, as a quick disclaimer, which should be apparent, but I want to do a disclaimer on this because I think it's important. If you're in an abusive relationship or are suffering from the repercussions and PTSD from an abusive relationship, these answers would be very different. And I pray that you are surrounded by loving individuals who can pour into you and can counsel you through this time and know that you are loved and that God restores all things. Because as it says in Joel chapter 2, verse 25, God will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. And also, if you were called to a life of celibacy or singleness, again, there's nothing wrong with that. God is good and His will is perfect. So with that said, again, this episode is riddled with tough love, but all love. And for those of you who are single that are listening to this, I pray that you continue to put God first. That is the most important thing. Always put God first, and that you focus on the amazing things in your life that you have that are life-giving rather than focusing on the areas of your life where there's lack. Yes, it's very healthy to be able to assess your life and to find out where there's areas in your life for improvement. It's very important, but do not stay there. Don't dwell on that. Create an action plan and put it to work. Grow, improve, all the glory to God. Everything else will fall into place. Trust me, God's timing is so perfect and so incredible. God knows the desires of your heart. Trust that and continue to carry forward, because what is meant for you will never pass you by. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Again, I'm so thankful for all of you who submitted questions, and I look forward to doing some more of these in the future. But until then, let's dive right in.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the special conversation with my wife, Erica Kirk.
Hi.
Brought to you by Bibleand365.com and Proclaim Streetwear. Buy your Proclaim shirt today.
Yes.
Right? ProclaimStreetwear.com.
It looks so good on you.
It's so comfy. People rave about it.
Made in USA, organic cotton.
It's amazing. So we're here to answer people's questions about dating.
Right. It's like Ask the Kirks about marriage,
dating.
Yeah, I
don't know if people can handle the truth, though. So we'll see.
I think they can. I don't know. It's tough love, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to start off with a softball, or do you want to start off with...
Sure, a softball's fine.
Does your husband ever cook dinner?
Very rarely. No.
You've cooked once.
I think once. The man should not be cooking, though.
I understand. I mean, every now and then it would be nice, but...
Yeah, that's the woman's
That's my
job.
Domain. I get it.
That's the wife's job.
I think so, too. How to find real men of God who follow Jesus first and with their whole heart and lives?
You answer that.
Well, first you have to pray to God
mm-hmm.
for Him to reveal your future husband to you. But also I think you need to be focusing on digging into the Word and getting your life together. Don't you agree?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, a lot of women are quite trashy, actually. And they're looking around for men, and it's like you're dressing...
Well, you're dressing for a different demographic than you're looking for,
yeah, and,
is what
and
you're meaning.
They don't act
like at the club
with piety or with purity. And so men want what they can't find or they can't see. So keep that in mind.
Leave something to the imagination.
Yeah, and just don't act with, you know, trash, and don't act.
Be classy. Be a lady.
Yeah, don't act like a feminist. I'm sorry.
No, these are great.
This
no, no, no.
And just tell
this
the truth.
We have to tell the truth. Okay, we have to.
We're not going to do patty cake Christian podcast where people are like, "It's all going to work out."
Go get them.
Like, no, just stop looking like a bum.
Brush your hair.
Yeah, wash your hair. Lose some weight.
Brush your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Eat healthy.
Yeah.
Take your vitamins. I am considering dating my best friend, but I am afraid to ruin the relationship.
Well, women shouldn't have best male friends. So does she mean like she's a lesbian?
I don't think she's a lesbian if she's submitting these through my Instagram. Well, maybe she is.
But women shouldn't have male friends.
Okay. You're saying in a relationship, a woman shouldn't have a male friend.
Just in general, I think it's really unhealthy.
So if I was single and you were single, you wouldn't be my friend because I'm not allowed to have male friends.
If the usually it ends up the man is gay, because all really men want is a relationship. Like an idea of a man having a female friend, it's all a facade.
So you're saying that obviously the male is friends with you for a reason.
Yeah, he wants to be with you romantically. Yeah.
But not every male feels that way. Sure. Some males might be like, oh, you're like a sister to me.
That's what they might say.
But in your head, when they say that, that means they're gay.
Well, they might have homosexual tendencies, yeah.
If they want to be your friend?
I don't, like, real men don't have female friends.
Okay.
They might have acquaintances, like people you know, but like real deep friendship.
You're saying like a super, super best friend.
Yes. Okay. That's what she said, best
so
friend.
So you're saying...
So either that guy is obviously gay, which women feel comfortable with.
Right.
And gay men enjoy female friends, which is a thing. That's right. Fine. Or he's only doing that because he actually wants it to lead to romance.
So should she take the... Should she do
well,
it?
Yeah, but I don't know if... Again, I don't know if she's a lesbian or not, but...
Okay, so if she's not a lesbian, then maybe...
Yeah, of course. What are you waiting for?
There we go. There we go. Okay. How to start a new relationship in a godly way as a teen girl. I don't think you should be focusing on relationships when you're a teen.
Well, definitely save yourself for marriage. It depends what teen. Is it 17, 18?
I don't know. I was so focused on basketball, like playing in college. I was not in school. I was not thinking about...
Teen girl answers are all you. I don't know.
God bless our daughter. Okay, how do you know if you just haven't met the right person or if you need personal growth?
That's a good question. Everyone needs personal growth. Yeah, that's one of the big problems is that, you know, I get these emails from these 33-year-old cat ladies that are really angry they don't have a man. It's like, have you spent time getting smarter, getting fitter, growing deeper in the word, becoming more interesting, become funnier, becoming wiser? Everyone can grow, men and women.
Right.
And so if you don't have a partner, it's because of you. It's not because of the world. And they're like, oh, the men are gone or the world's against me. You're not trying hard enough, honey. I'm sorry. You're just not putting enough commitment into it.
Okay. So.
So it's you. It's about personal growth. It's about showing up, going to church, making yourself available, making yourself as attractive as possible.
Putting yourself in positions of
yes, make yourself interesting, reading books, listening to podcasts, becoming, you know, really aware of current events, right? Like really understanding how, you know, you work as a physical being, right?
But I think you should always have personal growth. Like you haven't met the right person, but even when you do meet the right person, like both of us are really big on constant improvement.
Yeah, if you're not growing, you're dying.
Right.
And Tony Robbins talks about this a lot, who I like, he isn't outspokenly Christian, but he is a Christian.
Right.
Quotes the Bible a lot, which is that if you aren't growing, you're going to be depressed. One of the main reasons why people are depressed or anxious is they're not growing. And so you have to set goals for yourself, like physical fitness goals or reading the books or learning a language. And that literally is actually what triggers dopamine, which is the reward molecule.
Totally. Putting yourself in social positions that might make you uncomfortable, like going to a new Bible study.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Or meeting new people.
Church,
And so you have to know what is good for you and then commit yourself to that. If you think you've already reached your destination at 25, well, then of course you'd be depressed. And that's why we have so many kids committing suicide and so many kids on drugs is they don't make personal growth a priority for their own life.
I agree. How to know when you have found the one?
You know. If you're asking the question, then you haven't found the one.
No, it's so true. If you're asking if that person's the one, then you haven't found the one.
That's right.
I knew.
So did I.
You grilled me at Bill's Burgers.
I did, and you passed the test.
Oh, man. That was great. Okay. Please talk about missionary dating. Thinking you can win someone over to Christ.
Very bad idea.
I think so too.
Do not date to change them. That's
no.
A really bad idea. So
it'd be different if you're dating them and you're like, oh, we can up your wardrobe. But if you're trying to like completely change
like
them, No, baby, you were fine. You were
no,
great.
I wasn't.
We just needed to enhance a few things. Shoes.
Yeah, there we go.
Little tighter fit of clothes.
No, but if you have to have the same worldview of the person you want to marry. So dating is not a recreation. So if you're recreationally dating and you're like, oh, I can change you, that's, you're dating for the wrong reasons.
Right, because that parlays into another question about interfaith marriage.
Bad idea.
Like
do not
Catholic
do
and a Jew was an example.
Do not do that. Catholic and Protestant can work because the big things are in agreement, but even that at times could be really tough.
Right, because then you're dealing with baptism.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, if you do not agree on heaven, hell, redemption, sin, the scriptures, which Catholics and Protestants largely agree, there's some big disagreements, then you should not marry that person. You should absolutely break up and find somebody else. Do not try to change them either, because they'll always either, they'll fake change. If it's a true conversion, great, but that's very rare. Or it's a fake change, or they'll change with resentment.
I was going to say they'll resent, and then
they'll
silently
hold it over you,
resent.
But then they'll hold it over to you as soon as there's a conflict. Like, I became a Catholic just for
just
you,
for
and
you.
I don't even believe this stuff.
Right.
And, I mean, who's going to educate your kids? What are you going to teach them? What prayers are you going to say?
What holidays?
Yeah, what holidays are you going to observe? Are you going to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, right?
Hanukkah.
Yeah, Hanukkah, or Christmas, and Easter, and, you know, which Pentecost are you going to, you know, observe? The Christian Pentecost, or the Judaic Pentecost. Yeah, it's a bad
when
idea.
When is the Judaic Pentecost?
It's about the same time.
Is it
time.
The
yeah.
same time?
If Pentecost means 50, so it's like 50 days post-Passover is what Pentecost is supposed to be.
Do you agree with women dropping the handkerchief to get in contact with a guy she likes or a guy she would want to pursue her? I don't know what dropping the handkerchief means.
I guess like my assumption would be like faking... Like
a damsel in distress.
Or like you're dropping...
Daisy.
You're dropping the handkerchief to get attention from the guy. I guess it's like the...
Oh, Daisy says it's like giving a hint. Is that a Gen Z thing?
So is that like a heterosexual dropping the soap?
I can't.
I've never heard these terms before. Are you enjoying this, Daisy?
If you're dropping the soap and you're a woman trying to get contact with a guy, that's not Christian.
But no, I don't know. So should women give a hint? Yeah, they could give hints.
Yeah, they don't have to be aggressive.
But it's the man's job to approach the woman.
Right, but the woman doesn't have to be aggressive too from the standpoint of ultimatums of like, we just met. I mean, there's something to be said though for saying, I'm intentionally dating you. I'm not just dating you to date, but...
But deep down, women want to be approached. Deep down, women want to be led by men.
I totally agree. Okay. There's a few questions in here. I have never been pursued for the right reasons. I worry about my future husband's free will. Will he not choose me? How does God work with women not being pursued and therefore his image of Christ in church? Christian women are waiting and how a lot of us are not being pursued. I think she's just basically saying why Christian women aren't being pursued.
Well, if she's been pursued for the wrong reasons, and I don't want to assume too much, she's probably been preyed on for her physical beauty and not for what she considers to be, you know, her spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
So she has to be more pious in how she presents herself. I'm making a lot of assumptions here, if that's the case, right? For example, very few women say, you know what? The guy only cares about my sense of humor and doesn't care about my body. Like, that's not exactly a thing. So the subtext of her question is...
He loves my eyebrows.
Yeah, exactly. It's like he only cares about, you know, my writing skills and he won't care about, you know, my fitness. So she's implying that men pursue her only for physical reasons.
Right.
So then she has to be more pious in how she presents herself,
right,
how she dresses. Then she said something, why aren't Christian women being approached?
Being approached or pursued.
Because a lot of men are weak versions of their former selves. They're basically metrosexuals, you know, skinny jeans and basically very cowardly women-looking men. But
I feel like, though, too, women have a tendency, the older that you get as a woman not married, you're more aggressive and a little bit more hardened.
Bitter.
Right. So when a guy pursues you or tries to approach you, and if they don't do it the right way, you immediately like snap.
Yeah, that's right. And they feel entitled to a man. There's a lot of entitlement for, because I mean, think about it. If you're a late 20, early 30 something cat lady, you probably have a lot of corporate success. You probably got really good grades in college, right?
Yeah.
You probably are really well respected amongst your family for like socioeconomic. You probably are not in a lot of debt. And so this understandably creates a lot of frustration.
Right.
Because they have a good credit score, right? They have a lot of friends. They can go on nice trips to Belize, but the one thing they can't figure out is why won't a man love me?
Right.
And
which is sad.
Well, it's sad, but they have a great credit score, but they don't have a man because they might have prioritized it upside down. And the not so hidden secret is your prime as a lady is 20 to 25.
Right.
So be careful squandering that just on corporate success and good grades in college.
Well, if you take care of yourself, your prime kind of extends a little bit.
No, it does, but a lot of ladies lose that. Yeah. And then
I know what you mean.
They need to hear that, though. Like, there's a 21-year-old probably listening to this, being like, oh, I can go get good grades at Stanford, fool around, sleep around, and then a man will love me when I'm 32 or 33. It's a risk.
Right.
And your egg production goes down, and, you know, it's a fact of life. Men in their 30s reach more of a dating prime, mm-hmm. and young ladies do not. Young women do not.
We were talking about it the other day, mm-hmm. about how an older guy...
Yes, like a 38.
Not, yeah, he did not want to date a 32
or 33. We both know a Christian, eligible bachelor, tall, you know, charismatic, whatever,
right.
All that stuff.
Checks the boxes,
yeah.
But will not date someone who is like between 30, 35
mm-hmm.
range.
And
has to be between 20, he said it was like 24 to 27.
Yeah, and I don't think he's being totally fair, but
But then on the flip side,
I get why he
the
believes
girl
that,
doesn't want to date that guy.
No, we know girls. We know young ladies that don't want to date older men. But that will change. I mean, the thing about older men is they're usually financially stable.
Right.
They're established in career, and like a 23-year-old, 24-year-old, that's too big of an age gap. I think a decade is too long of an age gap. I think 5 to 7 years is fine.
Yeah.
But a decade, you're in different generations. You have different slang.
No, I totally agree.
You have different
TV shows.
Yeah. So.
We love Frasier.
Frasier is amazing. It's the best.
That's not even within our age range. Okay. Advice for learning to submit to your man if you naturally take charge and are a leader. So I think there's a difference between being an alpha female within the sphere that you operate in from like work standpoint, friendship circles, all of that. But when it comes to your husband,
mm-hmm.
he is your alpha. You are always to submit to your husband, and not in a way of slave versus master, but in a helpmate way, because you and your husband are one.
Yeah, the reason she's asking this question is her husband's not leading well.
So he's leaving the pants on the ground and she's picking them up and putting
them
on.
Yeah, and so if a wife ever even asks this question, it's 100% the man's fault.
For not taking charge.
Because no woman who's being led well, be like, I have real trouble submitting or, trouble. It just means that he's probably a drunk. Or he's watching pornography, or I'm not saying he is doing these things.
No, but
typically
yeah,
this is the behavioral pattern we see is when young moms or women are like, I am a go-getter. That's fine. But if you even have that kind of thought process, that means that your husband is not doing his job.
Right. Because I never have an issue with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for leading us so well, babe. Okay, how to date for marriage and how to best communicate that to the potential man.
First date.
Tell him I want to marry you.
No, just be like, I'm not here to play around.
No, I know. Date with intention.
Yeah,
like
this is not, if this is just fun or a hobby, we're done.
Totally.
But the woman has to say that. See, women have this built-in fear of rejection,
mm-hmm.
and it makes them do weird things. So women have to be okay with being rejected early.
But I think, we were talking about this to some extent. I think you need to have all of the spheres of your life kind of built out too. So you're not just so heavily fixated and anxiety driven over just that one small little, I mean, it's a big part of your life. But if you're so focused on, I need to find a man, you're looking at your life from a lack view mm-hmm. standpoint versus being like, wow, I have an incredible life. I have a great family. I have this, I have that. And living from a viewpoint of abundance and then being so absorbed and focused
yes.
on the amazing things that you're building and you're growing that God will bring up someone alongside you that's not going to distract you from
that's right.
all the amazing things that you have in your life.
I agree.
So you can't even be depressed because the guy's right there. Okay. What has kept your relationship alive?
quality time, mm-hmm. constant growth.
Yeah.
And adversity. If adversity actually can make a relationship stronger.
Yeah, I mean, totally
external
agree.
Adversity. Our travel schedule, all the people totally that want to murder us, you know.
Death threats.
Yeah.
No, we bond well.
You know, complacency is the death of anything.
Right.
Right. So we have a different fear, which is too crazy. Mm-hmm. But I think we've done a good job with the Shabbat of dialing that out. But
that's big. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people don't.
Well, if you look,
it's a great thing for you.
Every
to
single Christian should be honoring the Shabbat, not because I think you're commanded, because that's debated, but because it's one of the coolest, most amazing. It is biblical.
Yeah.
Things ever. God rested on the seventh day of creation, and so every Friday night we do the Shabbat dinner and mm-hmm. you know do our version of the Kiddush, which is the Jewish prayer. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Yeah.
And just Shabbat means stop.
And then what do you
Hebrew.
Do? What
I
do
turn
do
my phone off from Friday night to Sunday
and
morning.
You put it in the kitchen drawer.
I put it right in the kitchen drawer. I'm untouchable, unreachable.
Yes.
And so it's just a reminder of a couple things. Again, everything is what you do with it, but that God created the heavens and the earth, that you didn't create this, that you're just a soul little speck of a member there.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be humbling. You could pridefully do it too, you know, in anything. But I think that commandment, which depending on how you detail it, I think it's the third commandment, third mm-hmm. or fourth commandment.
Mm-hmm.
It's do not take the Lord's name in vain, I think. It depends how you break it. But yeah, it's third or fourth. Is the only ritual in the Ten Commandments. And it is, for 6 days you shall work, and for the seventh day you shall rest.
Mm-hmm.
So we're commanded to work for 6 days, which we do good and do very well, I should say. And I think it keeps families together.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think also, too, something that's really special is that we always ask each other, we check in with each other constantly throughout the mm-hmm. day of like, how can I make your day better? How can I help you with this? How can I serve you with that?
Yeah,
how
exactly.
can I just like constantly being able to
yeah, and like,
see,
I mean,
just check in and touch base.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. What if he checks all of the boxes, but you're not attracted to him?
Well, then you should not marry him.
Well, he obviously didn't check all the boxes.
Well, I mean, yeah, attraction is absolutely so unbelievably important, or else it's just going to be, you might as well just get a sperm donor.
Oh my God.
Are you laughing, Daisy?
Okay, well, I mean, obviously looks fade, so you can't be like super
but is this a woman asking this question?
Yeah.
But women can be attracted to men that are unkept for other reasons.
Okay, but here's the thing. If he is super smart, but he needs a haircut or he needs to groom himself a little bit better or something, a guy can change a lot between the ages of 20 to 25 mm-hmm. or 25 to 30. Like their face changes a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
But she wouldn't ask this question if there wasn't a major. And by the way, that's an unusual question for a female, because most females don't consider looks to be nearly as important as character or financial stability.
I don't know. Genetics is a big thing. Like you're looking, your kid might look more like him than you.
Yeah, but very rarely do I hear from women, I'm not attracted to him, but he checks all the other boxes. That's rare. That's a very visually stimulated female, which is usually a male characteristic.
So are you saying she's a lesbian? Just kidding. Why are we getting so many lesbian submissions?
We could be. I don't know.
We're getting trolled. Okay. How do you cope with feeling that God does not hear your prayers regarding relationships? I feel like God always hears your prayers. It's just he's answering them in a way that you might not like.
Yeah, that's exactly how I would have answered it. That's exactly right. He hears all prayers, but
absolutely.
There's a lot of pride in that question,
mm-hmm.
respectfully,
mm-hmm.
that you are so important that God is your celestial butler to ask for all your stuff.
Rub the lamp.
Yeah, God is not the room service phone at the hotel.
At the Four Seasons.
Yeah, I want a burger. I want a milkshake. That's not God. It's not the way it works.
Right.
So she has a unbiblical view of God. Prayer is a petition to the divine out of obedience and gratitude and piety mm-hmm. and service and duty. You don't do to God. And God, I also want the Corvette. It's not your Amazon shopping cart.
No, literally. But he also, he hears your prayers, but also too, if you feel like he's not, quote unquote, delivering you, you're human in time, I feel like it's also because you still have a lot of growth to do yourself. Mm-hmm. He's still trying to prune from your life, maybe a past relationship, yes, or maybe he's trying to get something out of your life that you're holding on to.
Or trying to make you more obedient to do things you're not doing.
Right.
Like to maybe stop you should watching stop going a TV to the show or go club or stop right. drinking alcohol or
right.
or lose stop 10 hanging pounds out with or your whatever.
Friends.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, not your friends, but some
there's
friends.
there's a great song. I think it's by Toby Keith. Thank God for Unanswered Prayers.
Mm-hmm. It's
so
true.
If you think every prayer you're giving, you know exactly how it's going to end up. That's a very arrogant, prideful way of looking at the sovereignty of God.
Well, and two, that means you don't understand how beautiful God's will is.
That's right.
Because God's will always be way better than anything you could have ever
planned. Yeah, and to this person's question is, she's obviously in pain. So I would just have her change her opinion. And instead, she should have, instead of why is God not answering my prayer, what am I not yet doing mm-hmm. to find my future mate,
mm-hmm.
to get to the place where only God can open the door?
Mm-hmm.
I believe God meets us halfway.
Yeah, and you know what I would recommend her doing too is instead of in her mind thinking God's not answering her prayers, she should look back in her life and write down the things that God saved her from
that she
thought that she wanted mm-hmm. and write and meditate and pray on the things that
that's
God saved you from that you thought you needed. Okay, next question. Should a son-in-law and a daughter-in-law honor the parents of the partner?
Yes. Absolutely.
Because it's your marriage. You're yes. now one.
Well, no, just practically, it makes life a lot easier.
Right.
100%.
No, totally.
I'm very blessed. We have the best in-law. I have the best in-laws ever.
We have a great family.
She's the best. Yeah, we have a great.
We just have a great unit.
Yes,
great
we do.
Great family all together.
I say absolutely. You are one, but it makes your spouse's life infinitely easier.
Well, and two, their parents are. Like your parents, I'm grateful for it because they brought you into the world.
Yes, and they raised me. And so.
Taught you how to use a spoon and a fork 100%, and a knife and
yes,
everything else.
The answer is 100% yes.
Okay, where.
Good question, though.
Where to meet single conservative Christian men in their 30s? You know where? AmFest.
Yeah, amfest.com. That's right. You can go to amfest.com, but also church.
Their church, their pastor.
Yeah, just the pastor's wife. Most pastors' wives operate as like Christian mingle.
So. With that said, though, some churches, when they know that you're single, it's the most awkward because you're in a group. Let's say you're in a youth, not a youth group, but a younger group, and everyone knows you're single. And then it's like if someone starts flirting with you, then another guy's like, oh, that guy's flirting with her. I'm going to not touch her.
Yeah, I mean.
You know what I mean?
My experience
so
is that whether it be
focused.
Uncles, aunts, cousins, if you really want to get married and you're in your 30s and you feel like your biological clock is ticking, which obviously you do as a female, then you need to kind of be a little aggressive, which is not a female characteristic naturally.
Right.
And text everyone and say, I'm looking for a mate. Can you set? And you're going to probably have some pretty awful dates. I'm just being honest. Like,
yeah.
That's what, once you get into your 30s and you're unmarried, I hope every 20-something woman hears me. You get in a little desperation mode.
But then it also, too, you have to be careful from the standpoint of your CVS list receipt of non-negotiables is going to have to...
Yeah, it's got to get to be like 10.
Be chopped a little.
Or like 4.
Yeah.
Or 2.
You're going to have like an Einstein.
Yeah, I know. A young lady texted you recently. She's like, I want this and I want this and I want this and I want that. I was like, geez, are you like customizing?
Yeah, she was
a
like
Ford
customizing
Explorer?
Literally.
Like, and I want the, you know, the heated seats
right.
and I want the 4-wheel drive and satellite radio.
The spinning rims.
I was like, wow,
that's
a very narrow path.
Should you just get married if you don't feel peace about it yet?
No, absolutely not.
I totally agree. Marriage is not just
You need
quick,
to find you need to find a pastor to help sort that out.
See, that's the thing though, is that I don't think the weight of marriage I don't know if it's as
appreciated. And it's better to not marry than marry wrongly.
I completely agree.
Yeah. And I'm a huge fan of marriage, but if you have any sort of lack of shalom, then you need to find a pastor and figure that out. It's either on you or it's on them. And then if you need to have the intellectual and spiritual courage to admit maybe it's you.
Yeah.
Commitment issues, your father left you, stuff like that.
We only have a few more minutes.
We have 5 more minutes.
Okay. Does equally yoked mean commitment to Jesus or theological knowledge?
I don't know. You'd have to ask a pastor that. I don't know.
Well,
probably both. I mean,
I would say it would have to do somewhat with both. Not.
Yeah, there I don't want to speak out of turn theologically.
No, so. That's true. There's some people that feel as though as long as they say Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, that means we're equally yoked. But then there might be some theological things where they might.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you need to have need to have the same worldview. And so the Catholic-Protestant thing can work, but it's still risky. But you need to believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. If you both believe in that, Jesus is the King of the world, Nicene Creed. If you don't believe in that, then you're not equally yoked.
Right.
It's not fair because, I mean, if your husband's a theologian, you're not going to know as much as he does, right? So that's not exactly a fair question. So I don't think so.
Okay. So then a lot of these questions, just to skim through, is like 33 and single, no prospects, any advice, or heading into 30s plus and single, hitting the deadline, but still being single and feeling the pressure of that.
And I don't mean to speak down to these people, and we're going to get so many hateful emails. I don't care. It's like someone needs to tell you that you have to focus on your personal growth, your walk with Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do not blame others. Because guess why? For no other reason, then that's very unattractive to other men. A man has a certain, you know, men are not necessarily atmospherically very aware of things,
mm-hmm.
but men can sense bitterness in a woman like immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very unattractive.
Right. So a 33-year-old single male.
Oh, male's got plenty of time. He'll figure it out.
No, I understand. But is when a 33-year-old single man meets a 33-year-old single woman,
mm-hmm.
the tension there?
Yeah, the man is probably financially stable, just right. beginning to look for his options. And the woman is like, I only have 30 seconds left on the clock.
I know, and that really does suck for the woman.
It does suck, but I'm just reiterating, the culture lied to her. And so I hope she's able to find her mate.
No, I understand, because she put career and stuff first, it was almost like also, too, what if their parents were like, you have to find a job and go and do this and go to college and do that.
A lot of boomer parents have created really anxious 33-year-old women.
No, I could not agree more.
Yeah, and these boomer parents were like, well, I'm glad you didn't get married at 23. Are you?
But that's exactly,
you don't have grandkids.
That is exactly right, because they said you need to go to the Ivy League school.
Yes.
You need to get the top job, work your way up through Google, and then
get on the pill.
Get on the pill. We don't want you to get pregnant when you're 19.
Yep.
Well, obviously, you don't want to get pregnant.
Or even 26 or 27.
Right.
Don't even start seriously dating.
Right. And then now the parent is
They're like,
now,
where are your grandkids? And then it creates a lot of acrimony in the family. So, I mean, my heart goes out for these women that are in their 30s. I don't have easy answers for you, though, because I don't lie. I don't mislead people.
No, but okay. So let's create, because we're closing out, let's create kind of a checklist, if you will. Because a lot of these questions were submitted by women who are still single looking for the guy.
Yeah.
What's take care of yourself? So, okay. What about this? Take care of yourself from the inside, meaning
spiritually nourish yourself.
Yeah. Correct. But also, too, take your vitamins.
Yeah.
Don't drink.
Do not. You should
take some time off drinking.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So, if you are looking for a man, literally, alcohol is a toxin, it ages you.
Right.
So, like, if you are looking for a man, zero alcohol, zero drugs.
Why don't you make a commitment to yourself to stop drinking?
That's a big one.
Until you find...
Or ever. Why does anyone drink?
I totally agree. Yeah. You and I are the same. So, stop drinking. Stop smoking or doing,
I would hope so. That would...
Those...
Yeah, I mean, this goes to my point. If you're 33 and you're telling us you can't find someone and you're doing a marble a pack a day...
Or rolling blunts.
Yeah. You're not exactly making the case...
Right.
But I doubt your listeners are like that. But yes.
Well, I don't know. You just told me I had two lesbians that are submitting questions.
No, I didn't
questions,
say that. I said, what woman...
Riley, we're going to have to comb through these.
What woman has a best friend that's a man? Like, that's very strange.
Okay. Well, so taking care of yourself, vitamins, eating healthy,
mm-hmm.
comb your hair, like shower.
Yeah, and I would even go as far to say, like, embrace every trick in the naturopathic world to, like, fight aging.
100%.
Yeah, working
Take your
out.
Vitamins.
Saunas, cold tubs, tanning, vitamin D levels, get your hormones balanced.
Right,
like
wear
you can,
sunscreen.
You can extend that clock a little bit further than even some people. You don't have to surrender to it. Like, don't eat carbohydrates. Don't eat refined
sugars.
You know
another thing that's really interesting? It's kind of superficial, but if a girl has her nails done, and is like well
presented.
Kept,
yes,
you know, that's a thing.
Yeah, and then you know, have a. I mean, I don't know the wardrobe thing as well as you do, obviously. With
dress classy,
dress classy, and so you have to do everything
carry yourself.
Possible. Yes,
right. Carry
and,
yourself, knowing that you have self worth.
You have to go into environments that might make you uncomfortable,
right?
To find a future match, and you know, Dennis.
And when you go there, don't be rude and pompous when you meet the man.
Yeah, so that's the other thing, is that you have to basically surrender to God. I mean. Surrender is the only way. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the anxiety will absolutely kill you. I
and
see
you
it happen
don't
all the time.
Have to immediately go to dinner. You can grab coffee.
Yeah, sure. I mean, again, nothing will be more unattractive for an eligible bachelor man than desperation.
Well, okay, so in New York City, it would be like a thing where a guy would come in and be like, okay, so I have drinks with Bethany at 6, and then I have dinner with, I'd give me another girl's name.
Cindy,
7:30, and then whatever they have a nightcap with. What's another
Rolanda?
Name? Okay,
these are real names.
Rolanda. That reminds me of that thing we watched the other day.
Huh?
The sweet tea thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, so guys, sometimes there are some guys.
Look, I mean,
like in New York City, that stack their schedule like that. Because they're just...
Here's the thing. People are going to email us. They say it's not fair. You're right. It's not fair. The game is rigged for men right now in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Men have a longer clock. It's harder to find a man. In Arizona, there's like 3 times the amount of single women than
it's
single men.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So it's just that's why I get so many lesbians,
and
right? Because they want to find somebody.
They're all my followers, apparently.
No, it's just it's just the way it is. So.
Okay. So then to close out that list, because we got to go, takes your healthy... putting yourself in yes. uncomfortable positions that are going to be productive towards personal mm-hmm. growth. And then I think to
spiritually nourish yourself.
Yes.
Yeah,
and like be so in it just ingrained with the word and
yes.
have the word so imprinted on your heart that it will literally take God saying that's him and you'll know.
Yeah. Amen.
And you'll know.
That's where piety comes in.
And he'll treat you so well. And it doesn't matter if you're in LA. It doesn't matter if you're in New York City. I was in New York City and I found mm-hmm. you.
That's right.
Well, you weren't from New York City. You kind of plopped in.
There you go.
To Bill's Burgers.
Everyone, check out Proclaim Streetwear. If we offended you, maybe you needed to, maybe you needed to hear it.
It
maybe,
was tough
maybe
love.
Maybe it was a it all comes in love.
Tough love from the Kirks.
Again, we don't do happy talk. I can't stand these Christian podcasts. I sit around and God will deliver you your future mate and keep eating Krispy Kreme. It's a bunch of nonsense. Okay, like improve yourself out of obedience and duty to the divine. And check out Proclaim Streetwear and buy your shirt.
And sign up for AmFest. And subscribe to the Charlie That's, Kirk
yeah,
Show.
That goes without saying. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for joining us today. I hope that these words encouraged and challenged you and postured your heart for the rest of the week ahead. If you have a minute, go to the subscribe and review section of this podcast and leave us a word or a Bible verse that you've been carrying in your heart throughout the week that really keeps you encouraged and motivated. I want to make this podcast review space that added bookmark for that simple reminder that we're all in this together and that God's got this. Feel free to share this episode with your friends, family, or on social media. And for more information on Proclaim Streetwear and to read the Bible with us in a year at Bible in 365, please click the links below. We're so grateful to have you join us right here every Wednesday on Midweek Rise Up.